Once again, good morning.
Good morning, John.
The song we just sang a few moments ago, More About Jesus, Let Me Learn, More of His Holy Will Discern, Spirit of God, My Teacher Be, Show the Things of Christ to Me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. I know that my messages, my studies are usually very short, and I know that some feel like we should go through some of the things that we go through a little more in detail, bring out a little more than what I do at times. No one but my Lord knows better than me how insufficient I am to do this. When I consider a message that the Lord wants me to bring, I literally wait. The last message I brought, I didn't even realize I was going to bring that message from that one verse in Isaiah where it talked about all the different names for our Lord Jesus. I thought I was going to go somewhere totally different, and the Lord led me a different way.
Yes.
When I consider what the Lord puts on my mind as I'm going around to during the week, I don't even know what's going to be for next week, to be honest with you. I know what verses we're going to try to look at, but I don't know what the Lord's going to lead me to bring before you. If it's anything like He has in the past messages and studies, it's going to be a short one, as always. I tend to get to the points kind of quick. But as we just sang in that song, I'm not the true teacher. You see, all I do is proclaim the gospel. All Pastor Gene does is stand before us and claim the gospel. Mike, it takes the Spirit of God to place that gospel on our hearts. It takes God to teach us. You don't need to turn there. Our text is in Matthew as it was last week. But let me read for you from John 6, 45. It says, It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. All must be taught of God. Even Christ, with His earthly voice, did He not go out and teach? But did everybody learn? No. Only those few who the Spirit opened the hearts of. He came unto His own, yet His own knew Him not. So as we go through these verses, as we go through the studies that the Lord has laid on my heart to bring for you, remember it is Christ who teaches us. Remember it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, who brings our hearts to know Him in Scriptures. So let us begin this study today by recalling a little bit of the first one we had last week. We saw in the introduction of this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, through the preaching of the gospel by John the Baptist. He was the forerunner, as it were, to the coming Messiah. He was the tool that God used to prepare the way to declare the King of all kings, to declare the coming of our Savior. We saw that the kingdom of heaven was not of this world, but a kingdom that was set up in the hearts of His elect. All that the Father had given Him, and I stand on what I said before, heaven is wherever Christ our King is. And Christ resides in the hearts of His people. Again, you don't need to turn there, but in John 17:21 it says, That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, and the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So let's begin. Let's take another look at the verse that we left off in chapter 4, verse 17 of Matthew. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent means to turn from your worldly views, to turn from your worldly rituals. As Mike brought out, take your eyes off the things of the world and turn them to Christ. Set your sights on the things above. Turn from your religious rituals, rituals that honor men rather than God, and turn from the idols of self-righteousness and turn to Christ. For the kingdom is at hand. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We'll continue on. In verse 18 through 22, we see a wonderful picture of the power of Christ's word. There is much to be learned in these several verses, but I will address the obvious and move on with our subject. Look specifically, if you would, with me at verse 20 and 22. Now Jesus has gone walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, and Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we come to verse 20, it says, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Now notice it didn't say they were thinking about, "Well, you know, just throwing my nets, things really kind of hard work. Might be a lot easier to follow that guy. You know, I've been doing some stupid stuff all my life. It's time for me to turn my life around and start doing the right thing. I think I'll make a decision and follow God." It didn't say that at all, did it? "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." I had no idea why I kept coming back to this church. But I knew this, that what I heard, and I've heard Pastor Gene explain it this way too, so I'm not trying to repeat what he says, I'm just telling you what was in my heart. I knew what I heard made more sense than anything else I'd ever heard anyone else say. I came back the next Sunday to hear it again. I didn't have to make a decision. God had made it for me. We see the wonderful picture of election. Pure and simple. Jesus was not going around looking for any that might follow him. He was calling those that were lost, seeking his lost sheep. What does it mean to follow God? Repent. Turn away from the things of the world. Seek after the things above. He changed my want-tos. You see, the sovereignty of God in all things is the only peace that anyone can have. I am assured. I have assurance. I have assurance of my place in heaven because he who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of all of my salvation and all things has made it so. Who can stand his hand? I'm sorry, who can stay his hand? Who? Who can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord? Not even my own self can separate me from him. My name was written on the breastplate of Lord Jesus before the world ever began. I am his, and if I am his, he is going to have me. Hold your place in Matthew and turn over to Ephesians for a moment, if you would, please. Ephesians 1. If I am His, He is going to have me. He is going to sanctify me in Himself. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. According as He hath chosen us. He is the one who sanctifies His people in Christ. He takes us out of this world and sets us aside, sets us apart. Turns our hearts so that we will look to the things above, as Mike brought out in his devotion. What a wonderful devotion. I'm telling you, Mike, you keep up these good devotions. I'm just going to ask you to stay and bring the Bible study. He has redeemed me in Himself. Verse 1, first part of 7, or chapter 1, verse part of 7. First part of verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Because He shed His blood on the cross. Because He gave His life for us. Because He is our substitute. Paying the price. Redeeming His children. He has redeemed me in Himself. He has justified me in Himself. The last part of verse 7. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Because He sits on the throne now, I am justified in what He has done, just as if I'd never sinned. God remembers our sins no more. They are put away. He took them to the grave and they did not come out with Him. He left them behind. I ask that you would hold a finger or something there in Ephesians, because we'll come back to that, but go back to our text in Matthew chapter 4. Starting at verse 23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those who were possessed of devils, and those who were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and He healed them. And they followed Him, great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now this brings us to chapter 5. Here in chapter 5, our Lord lists out 8 characteristics of all of those that would be blessed. Pastor Fortner writes, where are such people to be found? It is certain that none among the fallen sons and daughters of Adam possess such traits. Among all the people of our fallen race, there are none who are good, none who do good, and none who seek after God. Obviously, those who are here described are the redeemed of the Lord, His own elect, who were given to Him by the Father, made blessed in the righteousness of the Son, and regenerated and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Are you still holding your finger in Ephesians? Again, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Well, who is the us that it speaks of? Look at verse 1, the very end. to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's to all of God's elect. All of God's people throughout time. All of those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Those who have received the gift of faith that we read about in Ephesians 2:8. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. What a beautiful picture we have in verses 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, went up into a mountain. And when he had was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them more about Jesus. Our Lord is the one who does the teaching. What a beautiful picture. God teaching us. This is how he speaks to his people now, through his word, through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The first thing the Lord taught me through the preaching of his word was that I had nothing to offer a holy and perfect God. I was bankrupt. That means not only was I broke, but I owed everything to him. Everything that I have ever had, everything that I will ever have, the very existence itself, I owe to him. That's what bankrupt means. It doesn't mean that you're just broke. It means you owe more than you got. And I owe him everything. I owe him more than I have. I was as the dry bones that are spoken of in Ezekiel. I was dead. Again, I take the moment to quote Pastor Don Fortner, where he says, those who are poor in spirit are men and women who in their own judgment and esteem are spiritually poor. Their souls are barren and empty before God. They have no righteousness of their own, no good works, no good thoughts, nothing with which they commend themselves to God. As John Gill wrote it, being sensible of their poverty, they place themselves at the door of mercy and knock there. Their language is, God, be merciful to me. Continuing in the quote, before God lifts us up in his grace, he brings us down until we are poor in spirit. We will not seek the mercy of Christ. Yes, it is painful, but blessed work when God puts a soul into a bankrupt state. The Laodiceans of this world will never seek mercy, as we see in Revelations 3:14. Jacob was brought down, as we see in Genesis 32. Isaiah was brought down, as we see in Isaiah 6. Gomer was brought down, as we see in Hosea 2. The woman with an issue of blood was brought down, as we see in Luke. Onesimus was brought down, as we see in Philippians. And the prodigal son was brought down, as we see in Luke. God knows how to make a proud and self-sufficient sinner poor in spirit. He knows how to bring sinners down. You see, that's the problem with the world. We think we're better than we are. We think we can make ourselves better than we are. How much, you know, you stop to think about this whole political scene we've got going on right now. Does anybody really expect anything different? The world does. God tells me there are none good. I don't expect anything different from those two people than I do myself. There's enough bad in all of us to go around, isn't there? Turn over to Psalms chapter 51, if you would please. God knows how to make the proud, self-sufficient sinner poor in spirit. He knows how to bring sinners down, and that's exactly where you have to come before you will call on the Lord for mercy. I remember the day that the Lord broke my heart with my sin. I had heard the preacher Gene Papp preaching a few times by that time. I was actually listening to Harold Camping, family radio, and I was on the road driving to Reading. 3 hours of drive time there, so I spent a lot of time listening to the radio on that one. And I don't remember what Harold was talking about at the time. I just remember that whatever it was he said, it had to do with our personal sin. And I realized at that moment, that's really, truly what I am. I have sinned against the one who made me. But what I realized even more than that is he still loves me.
Amen.
Are you in Psalms?
Yes.
Chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Natural man can't come to that. In fact, that's exactly what drives him away from God. The very fact that Christ is our Savior angers the natural man. What do you mean telling me that I don't have a free will? My aunt, who is one of the sweetest women I've ever known. Have you ever seen, if you saw in Lord of the Rings, there was an old guy, and he had his face on him, and he was talking to the younger boy, and I don't know, the ring got too close to him or something, and all of a sudden he just freaked out and went like that. I'm telling you, that's what my aunt did. She literally poked me right in the chest, and she got angrier than I've ever seen any elderly woman get and say, I have free will. From that time on, she never spoke to me about religion again. And I didn't with her either. The natural world hates the sovereignty of Christ. They will not have it. Yet God's people, that's peace in it, isn't it? O God, thou wilt not despise. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The natural spirit of mankind is arrogant and haughty. We come into this world thinking that we are somebody, thinking that we are owed something just because. It takes the Lord, through the preaching of His Word, to teach men of who they are. It took the Lord, through the preaching of His Word, to teach me of what I am. A sinner, condemned unclean. Almighty and gracious God, please, please be merciful to me. For I know that many hear the gospel of heaven preached, yet few hear it with the heart. Let's close with John 6:33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Heaven came down and filled my soul. Well, usually I'd ask Pastor Gene if he'd like to stand up and close, make any closing comments, but he's not allowed to talk. So, if you would stand with me, please.